we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
I want you to understand it. It's a mystery.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
That means to these people, it's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Because it is given unto you, read on, to know the mystery.
Mystery, even a mystery, hid from ages through history. Generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, the nation, victory.
You're listening to, Mystery of the Bible.
Now, since Mysteries of the Bible has been on the air, our main goal was to establish truth according to God.
Welcome to another episode of Mysteries of the Bible. I am your host, Mr. Powers, and I would like to introduce my co-host,
St. James.
St. James, how you doing today?
I'm doing good if I can get the frog out of my throat from the very beginning of the show. Yes, sir. What's going on? Now. Yeah,
not yep. much, man. I'm excited here. Excited here to continue and do part two of the truth about Easter Sunday.
Oh yeah,
everything that it entails. A lot has been coming out throughout these different segments and classes and Mysteries of the Bible. We've had a lot of visitors. When I say visitors, people have been listening to the show. I believe we even have from Austria recently. We have
and like Austria. France or something too, right?
And France. So shout out to everybody in Austria and France. Keep listening. And everywhere else that's listening globally and nationally, keep listening to the radio show. We're gonna keep having these amazing classes coming out of the Word of God. Like we always say, our teacher is the prophet of God's Father, the God's and Comforter, Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest Tazadakia, who is the one that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prophesied will come in the Scriptures. He's known as the Comforter. So he's the one that was prophesied to come and to teach us all things and bring everything back into our remembrance, the things that Christ have taught us. So really excited about this. So how do you feel about this?
Yeah.
So St. James.
This is great. Like you said, I think you said it very, very well, sir. Like, this is, only the guys and comfortable, the apostle and chief our priest, Hazadakias. Like, this is, that's how you know that he's the one. Is it if we make any sense, it's only because we learned it from him.
That's right. That's right.
So yeah, it all glorifies our Lord King and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the focus. Yeah.
That's right. And no one should be able to gainsay nor resist what we're saying, like it says in the book of Luke 21, verse 15, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave the God's and Comforter that mouth. He has that mouth. And he has taught us the teachings that and the understanding that Christ gave him. So that's why when people hear these understanding that's coming on the show, they know that, wow, this is something that can't be gainsaying. Somebody made a comment that this can't be gainsaying or resisted. No, you can't. Because this is coming directly from the mouth of Christ to the God's and Comforter and taught to us directly as students of the Holy God's and Comforter, which makes us students and disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the real Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's hard to come against it once you disprove it. What, like, mathematically, logically, scripturally?
Yep, exactly. So it's amazing, and just keep listening. There's a lot that's gonna be coming out. We have another interesting class that's gonna be coming out on the next show, which you'll hear about later on. And just keep listening. This is the road to your salvation. So if you're not in the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ, and you're listening, and you are becoming interested, then your time is now. You need to come in and become a member of the true Church of Christ that Christ spoke about, the church that has been around since the time of the wilderness, which is God's chosen people. And we are here doing the job that God has called us to do and ordained us to do, which is teach his word to the ones that's going to eventually come back to the truth. So real excited, very excited.
Yeah. Let's go then. So let's do it.
So what we want to do is a recap. We was talking about, the topic is called The Truth About Easter, going into Easter Sunday. So this is part two. We left off with a cliffhanger. We went and proved that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could not have died on a Good Friday, because there's a doctrine out there by the majority of what's called Christianity. Catholicism being the head of that, Christianity following right under that. Protestants, you know, different denominations they believe in Jesus Christ crucified on the Good Friday. Their whole setup is based on them believing that Christ crucified on the Good Friday and died for the sins of all people and resurrected on what they call it Easter Sunday. And this is what they base their whole belief on, St. James. They go to church on Sundays because they know that the Sabbath was Saturday, but because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to them, resurrected on the Easter Sunday, that the Sabbath has changed now from from Saturday to Sunday. So we're going to be addressing that later on, because again, if we prove to you without a shadow of a doubt that Christ did not resurrect on the Sunday, how is, first of all, that's not even scriptorial.
Right.
It's not even scriptorial that the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday. Even if he did, like, even if he did resurrect on a Sunday, which we know he didn't, but even if he did, there's still no scripture to tell you that the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday, which we're going to go into later. So, again, what is your whole belief on? It's not doctrine. It's not the word of God. It's tradition and, you know, the occult, which we're going to go into later on. So, I mean, what do you think about that, St. James?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing. And that's what they try to, they try to come back with all kinds of different stuff. So, and it's great to be able to go and show according to the word, because even if they try to come back with, oh, well, this was the leadership of the church during this time, and God gave them the power, and that's his, you know, and that's why now we change the date. No. Well, if they really are the leadership of the true church of God, then everything has to be according to the word.
That's right. Like we've been saying since the last show on the truth about Easter part one, that your guide is supposed to be the word of God, not man.
Right.
If they show you everything that they do is supposed to be according to the word of God. That's your guide. Okay? That's our guide, the word of God. And again, the word of God, but they don't realize, we're going to touch on that later on, St. James, is that if you're not ordained to reveal the mysteries of the word of God is going to be a trap for you.
Yeah. Yep. A snare, what was it called? Snare.
It's a snare to you. Meaning, God got traps in the Bible. You were like, why are certain things written in there? Why does it say this then? Yeah, we're gonna go into that. Because guess what? If you don't have the truth, then God just set you up. You set up and you're trapped. Because God don't want you to learn. Because God, like he told his disciples, that it was given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to the rest, which is the world, it is not given. So that means God ain't gonna give it to everybody. So we understand that. But the ones that God is going has given to, which he says that the ones that God gave him is in his hand, we know that those are the ones that's gonna eventually wake up. So this is our job. And we're here to also take down the lies, which is part of what we're supposed to do. That's being taught about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're showing you, like we showed you before, that that's not the true Jesus. So if that's not the true Jesus that you're following, who are you following? Okay. So let's go ahead.
That's the question right there. Yes, sir. That's the question right there. Who are you following?
Right. So let's do a recap. Let's just do a quick recap.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned Ash Wednesday is what starts off that time period leading up to Good Friday. We know that Good Friday is the day that they claim that Christ was crucified, and it ends off at sunrise services, mentioning that for a reason, sunrise services on an Easter Sunday. Okay. And this comes around every year. So does Ash Wednesday. What is Ash Wednesday about? Or what do they say it's about? Because we're going to tell you what it's really about later on. What is Ash Wednesday about? Ash Wednesday is about what's called the beginning of Lent. And they come to church. They have whatever it is that they have, a sermon. And then they put ashes in their head, and they begin the point of repentance and abstinence and giving up certain meats, which is not eating meats, only eating fish on Fridays for a 40-day period, and that's known as Lent. They say that that is talking about, or representation symbolically, of the 40 days and 40 nights that Christ went into the wilderness. Okay, again, no scriptural reference or background to validate that tradition that they follow. Question is, why ashes? Why on a Wednesday as well? Why start on a Wednesday every year? Okay, just everybody keep that in mind, because it's going to come back later on. So then they have this 40-day period of Lent where they're doing doing repentance. Before that, they have Fat Tuesday and Carnival and Mardi Gras, because they know that the in the ancient times, they didn't have refrigerators to keep their meats cold. So those meats would eventually, they would start to expire, and they would have to get rid of it. So what they would do, they would have carnival. They eat up all their meats and get rid of all their lusts and their sins before that. And then on Wednesday begin the time period of Lent, when they will start being repentant, leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. All that is tradition that was kept prior to the time of Christ, and we're going to speak on that. Where did that come from? This is stuff that was intermingled into the church way later after the time of Christ. When I say the church that wound up taking over and claiming that they were the true ones, but that's not the case, because Christ told you that there would be a time period where the believers that had the truth would eventually be martyred. So, and Satan will come in and set up his church using the name of Christ to deceive many, as St. James had went over in the transformation of the dragon not too long ago. So if you haven't watched it, you can go back and look up that episode, and you'll see how all that transpired. So St. James, anything you want to say on that?
No, sorry. I think we've given the recap, and let's go, sir, because we always try and keep it to an hour, and we're never going to keep it to an hour.
So let's go to Matthew's 12:40. Let's just recap. Let's look at the prophecy of when Christ was going to crucify. How long was he going to be crucified for? Where was it, once he crucified, how long was he going to be on the earth for? Or dead? So let's go to Matthew's 12:40 real quick. Let's read that. This is the prophecy concerning Christ's crucifixion.
For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly.
So this is the prophecy that Christ is giving that wicked generation that's looking for a sign. And Christ said, this is the sign that I'm going to give you to let you know I'm the Son of Man, that I'm God. Read it again.
For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly.
So Jonah was a prophet that was around during the time of the Old Testament, and he was sent out to preach repentance to the Israelites that was in Nineveh. And while he was there, he was complaining, but nevertheless, the Lord pronounced a judgment on Jonah and had a whale swallow him. And how long was he in there for? 3 days and three nights. So Christ is giving a comparison. He said, just like Jonah's was 3 days and three nights. 3 days. Look at that. 3 days and three nights. He didn't say 3 days or just three nights. He said 3 days and three nights. Very careful to pay attention to the words that Christ said, because every word that Christ said has a meaning behind it. 3 days and three nights. So let's read that again, please.
For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly.
That's three full days and three full nights. Come on.
So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
So that lets you know that he's going to be, once he gave up the spirit, he was going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, which is a complete three full days. Where did he go within those 3 days and three nights? That's something, as we go on through the episode, you'll see where he was at for 3 days and three nights. So, but those are, how long is those 3 days and three nights? Somebody might say, well, it's just allegory to just a day. But does Christ give us actual time to reference what those 3 days and three nights mean? Yes. Let's go to John 11, verse 9. So we're doing a recap. John chapter 11, verse 9. Let's see if Christ himself identified the dispensation of time of 3 days and three nights. John chapter 11, verse 9. Let's read that, please.
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day?
So clear as day. Look at that. Christ said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If you know anything about a day in the Bible, in the Word of God, it says from evening unto evening. Okay, that's in the book of Genesis. When God was establishing the days, from evening unto evening was the first day. From evening unto evening was the second day. So you have evening and you have the day portion of the day. So from evening to evening is a day. That is a complete 24-hour period. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is saying, are they not 12 hours in a day? So if there's 12 hours in a day, how many hours is in there in the night? 12 hours. The same thing we're going through today. 24-hour period. So it's supposed to be, but we know that it was changed because during this time, as the book of Daniel lets us know, that they would change the times and season. You have what's known as daylight saving time. So they changed the time, but it's supposed to be St. James. And it was back then, 12 hours in the day, 12 hours at night, which consists of one full day. So when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said he was going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, he was talking about 3 full days and 3 full nights. When you do the math, that equals to 72 hours, St. James.
Right.
And 72 hours. Mm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so no, I don't want to jump ahead. So I'm like, so 72, 3 days and three nights, and you start calculating back from there, and some right. things fall short, you know?
Yeah, fall short. So if you look at just Friday alone, from Friday to Sunday, you're not going to get 72 hours. Okay, it's just mathematically impossible. If you look at the days and you want to look at it allegorically, that still doesn't add up. Okay, and we're just giving you the benefit of the doubt, but we don't have to do that, but we're just still proving to you that it's completely, there's no way you're going to get 3 days and three nights.
Right.
No way, impossible. Impossible. So now we're going to look at what time he actually died. So we can start calculating from Friday to Sunday. And let's just see if we get 72 hours. So if we go back to the book of Mark, chapter 15. Okay.
Okay.
And, Mark 15, and I believe it's around the 33rd verse.
Yes, sir.
Get there with you. Yep. Perfect. 33. So from 33, we're going to read up to 37. Let's get the time that our Lord Savior Jesus Christ actually gave up the spirit while he was on the cross. So this is the day that Christ is being crucified. He's on the cross. And we're going to see exactly what time he gave up the spirit. Because if we know what time he gave up the spirit, then we can calculate 72 hours after that and see what time he resurrected. Because he said 3 days and three nights. In other words, no less than that time. No less than 72 hours he was going to be on the earth.
Right, and that's to eliminate all of the doubt and any confusion whatsoever if someone tries to say, well, now it says 3 days, so it says Friday, we got to start with that. When's the first part?
Right.
It's 12 midnight. That's those where you start the day. So let's start counting from there. So now let's just...
Exactly. Christ put everything in the scriptures. It's precise and detailed. So let's go to Mark 15. Let's read verse 33, please.
And when the 6th hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour.
So now we look at the 6th hour, right? The 6th hour is talking about the 6th hour of the day, because we just established in John 11, verse 9, that there's 12 hours in the day. The 6th hour of the day would be starting in the morning when the sun rises, 6 a.m. So if you look at it from 6 a.m. and you count 6 hours later, that's actually noon. How you know that to be the case? Because when you look at 12 p.m., people usually say midday, right? Midday of what? Midday from the 12 hours. And like St. James proved the other night on the last episode that we did, that 12 hours in the night, when the night starts at 6 p.m., when you get to midnight, that is the middle of the 12-hour period of the night. Makes sense, right? Six hours.
Yep.
The middle is 12. Another from 12 p.m. to from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. is another 6 hours. So that lets you know there's 12 hours in the day, 12 hours in the night. That's why 12 p.m. is known, also known as noon or midday. Midday from what? From when it's supposed to be the morning of the sun, which is 6 a.m. before they change the time in our time period. So from 6 a.m. to 12 noon is 6 hours. So when they said the 6 hour, it's about the 6 hour of what? The 6 hour of the day, which is also known as high noon. When the sun is at its highest point. It says, verse 33, read it one more time, please.
And when the 6th hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour.
Until the 9th hour. So what was taking place at the highest point, which is noon, which is midday, where the sun is at its highest point, there was darkness all over the land until the 9th hour. So there was darkness for 3 hours. What is that? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, caused an eclipse to take place. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in the cross, that 3 hour period that he was in the cross from 12 to 3 is significant and symbolically representing that those people that was there to crucify him and those that was against him, that was going to be their future, which was utter darkness. So we're going to continue reading because we're recapping. Read on. So the 9th hour is actually 3 p.m. because that's the 9th hour of the day. When you get to the 12th hour of the day, that's actually 6 p.m. That's how you know. So the ninth hour is 3 p.m. Read verse 34, please.
And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
So, right, when you see that, you might say, well, why is Christ saying that? Well, again, Christ is a master teacher. Even in the cross, he's teaching us how to deal with situations. When you're going through a situation, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to cry to God. So he's seeing that darkness was coming in. So he was saying, Lord, leave me not in this darkness. So again, he's showing you how to pray to God when you're going through something. He's always teaching Israel. So he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? In other words, don't leave me in this darkness, because darkness represents that God is not there. So when you see darkness, those 3 hours symbolically represent the ones that was going to be cast into outer darkness, which is hell. Christ is like, don't leave me in this darkness, because darkness represents God not being there. Where's God at? He's in the kingdom of the light. Where he's at is nothing but light. There is no darkness. So let's continue.
Verse 35. And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.
But they didn't have no understanding what was taking place at that point. And the vinegar represented is another understanding with that, which I'm not going to go into, because it's going to go into another class. But there's an understanding of why vinegar was given to him and why he refused it. But let's keep reading.
And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit.
Yeah, and what he said with a live, what he said with a loud voice was that it is finished. In other words, in another part, I think it's in the book of John, tells you that he cried out and said, it is finished, meaning the job that he came to do, the purpose of why he came on the earth, which was to die for the sins of his people, has been finished. It's been completed. And he gave up the spirit. At what time was this? It was at exactly the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. So now we have what? We had the time that he was crucified and gave up the spirit. We have the length of time that he would be in the heart of the earth, which is 3 days and 3 nights, which is a complete 72-hour period. Let's start calculating the time. Everybody knows that Christ was crucified at 3 p.m. That's how you also know that the ninth hour is 3 p.m. That's universally known. So, but they say it was a Good Friday. So let's calculate the time. You have Good Friday, 3 p.m. If you count 24 hours, that comes up to what day, St. James?
That's 3 p.m. Saturday. And in case anybody has some hard time seeing, you can go and do a little chart. Do 3 p.m. plus 12 plus 12. But yes, sir. You got it. Yeah, 3 p.m. on Saturday. That's 24 hours.
That's one day. 3 p.m. Sunday gives you what?
That would be 48 hours.
Which is how many days is that?
That would be 2 days.
Right. So we see how that's mathematically impossible, because the scriptures tell you this. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 1. So it does not even equate to about a day and a half, according to what they teach out there, that he was crucified at 3 p.m. on a Good Friday and resurrected right before sunrise, or right around sunrise on an Easter Sunday, which we know is mathematically impossible. Let's read the book of John, chapter 20, and verse 1.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark.
Stop. So right there it says that Mary Magdalene came on the first day of the week. Everybody know that Sunday is the first day of the week, because they claim that the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday because Christ resurrected on the Easter Sunday. So I don't want nobody trying to come back and say, well, we know the first day. No. You believe and you know the first day of the week is Sunday. You know, the seventh day is the Sabbath. She came during the first day of the week. It says, while it was yet dark. The sun hasn't even come out yet. Mm-hmm. So you can't even claim Sunday to be a day if you're looking at it just by days and nights and not calculating time. So look at that. And when she went to go see him, while it was yet dark, what happened? Let's read.
Unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.
Yeah, well, she didn't know that Christ already was risen. So in another part of the gospel, it tells you that the angel came down and spoke to the other Marys that were there. There was about two Marys that were there that came and said that he is risen as he has said. Okay, let's go there real quick. Let's go to Matthew's. Matthew's the 20th chapter. I'm going to get that real quick. Matthew's 28 and let's read from. Go ahead.
Yeah, verse 1 is right where it starts up.
Yep, verse 1.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week.
Right, as it began to dawn toward the, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So we know John's account said while it was yet dark, she was already there. So as the dawn was coming, read on.
Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
So yes, she wasn't alone. There was more than one Mary that was there. There was two Marys that was there. There was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Read on.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it.
Right, so there was a stone. Okay, this place where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's body was actually laying in was actually like a cave, if you want to look at it that way, that had a stone rolled in there. And this was a burying place that was actually made for Joseph of Arimathea, which was a rich man who was a follower of Jesus Christ. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified, he gave up that tomb that was made for him, and he put the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in that tomb and rolled it up. So now, when they came to see the sepulchre, the angel came down and rolled back that stone and sat upon it. Read verse 3, please.
His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow.
And so when it says his raiment was white as snow, he had on a white garment. Okay. Verse 4, please.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
It says became as dead men. They shook and became as dead men. I mean, they fainted because of what they seen. Read on.
And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified.
Yeah, don't fear ye, because the one that you're seeking for, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was crucified. Read verse 6.
He is not here, for he is risen. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said.
Come. Yeah, he is not here. He is risen, for he is risen, as he said. As he said. Very important. What did he say? 3 days and three nights. And another part of scripture says after 3 days. So letting you know that what? No less than 72 hours before Christ will resurrect from being in the heart of the earth. So 3 days and three nights. He will resurrect right after that. Okay, 3 days and three nights. Read verse 6 one more time.
He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
Verse 7.
And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you.
You see that? So that's amazing. He resurrected as he said, which was not or could not have been on an Easter Sunday, because it's mathematically impossible. Remember, he is risen as he said. He said what? 3 days and three nights. Another part of the Bible, he said after 3 days. So we know that it had to be a complete 72-hour period before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would actually resurrect and come back onto the earth. So you see that. So it's impossible for it to have been a Friday, 3 p.m., and resurrect on what they call an Easter Sunday, because the math is not there. It's mathematically impossible.
Right.
So if he didn't resurrect on an Easter Sunday, when did he actually resurrect? St. James, what you want to say?
Yeah, no, it's like, so even on Sunday, 3 p.m., you get 48 hours. So it's a good Thursday. I mean, what?
So then the thing that they're looking at is Mark 15:42. This is what's jamming them up, because they don't have the understanding of the scriptures. Plus, okay. there's other things that's mingled into Good Friday and Easter Sunday, which we're going to eventually lead to that. But Matthew's 15:42, real quick. We're still recapping. And then we're going to go into what day. Was it prophesied exactly what day he will actually... So you have no mistake without a shadow of a doubt. Even though if you don't want to go by the time, if you don't want to go by this, is there a day that was prophesied to the prophets that the Messiah will be actually crucified. This is what we're getting up to. We're leading up to, rather. Mark 15:42. Read that.
And now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath.
Read 43.
Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God.
So we're just talking about him. We're talking about Joseph of Arimathea, which is also an honorable man, a counselor, a rich man. Come on.
Came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus.
So you see that? He went to go get the body of Jesus because, again, the Sabbath was getting ready to come in and they had to bury the body before the Sabbath came in. So read verse 42 again. So I'm getting to a point that this is what they're actually trying to say. So this is one of the verses where they try to say, well, it's talking about Friday because the Sabbath is coming in. Read verse 42.
And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath.
So the preparation is actually the day before the Sabbath. The Sabbath comes in that evening of whatever day it is. If it's a Friday or it's a high holy day, the preparation will be that day of, and it come, the Sabbath will come in that evening. So before the Sabbath came, Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body because they wanted to make sure that the body was buried before the Sabbath came in that evening. So the question is, what preparation and what Sabbath? Is this talking about Friday? Because we just showed you that it couldn't have been on a Friday, which is the day preparing before the Sabbath. The Sabbath comes down that Friday evening, and you're supposed to be in the temple. So if it's not talking about the weekly Sabbath, what Sabbath is this talking about? What preparation and what Sabbath? Was there another Sabbath that was going to be taking place during that time that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was being crucified? Let's go to John chapter 19 and verse 31. Let's see. Read that, please.
The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day.
You see that? So we're reading pretty much the same account that we just read in Mark, but now we're reading it in John's account. It says the Jews thereof because it was the preparation. So the question is, the preparation for what? The weekly Sabbath or for another Sabbath, which is a high holy day? Because what they don't realize and what they don't know, because they don't know the scriptures, they error in knowing the scriptures, they don't know that high holy days or high days is also known as Sabbath days. So read verse 31 again, please.
The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day.
Let's slow down a bit. For that Sabbath day is separating that Sabbath day from other Sabbath days. It says for that Sabbath day. Was what? Read St. James.
Was in high day.
Was a what?
In high day,
meaning on high holy day. What's another word for a high day or high holy day? Holiday. So now what day or what was the preparation for and what Sabbath or what high day was this referring to? Go up a little bit and let's go to John chapter 19. Verse 14.
And it was the preparation of the Passover.
And it was the preparation of what?
The Passover.
So we see that Sabbath that was coming in was the preparation of the Passover, which is also another Sabbath day. The Passover is known as a yearly Sabbath or an annual Sabbath, which comes once a year. Then you have different high holy days like Purim. You have the Feast of First Fruits, the Memorial Blowing of Trumpet. These are all annual Sabbath that comes once a year. They're known as high days, high holy days, or what the world calls today, holidays. So these are also Sabbaths. So when it talks about the preparation, how they had to bring down the body because the Sabbath day was coming in, that wasn't talking about Good Friday, because we know it's mathematically impossible for him to have passed away on a Good Friday, but we know that's referring to the high holy day, which was the Passover, also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So you see how clear that is?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to another scripture just to show you that was talking about the Sabbath day. Let's go, let's talk about Passover. Let's go to Matthew's, just to get it clear. Let's go to Matthew 26, verse 2.
Matthew 26, verse 2. You know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover.
So let's read verse 1. Let's just read verse 1 again to see who's talking here.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples.
So who's saying this? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples. What is he saying to his disciples? Let's read verse 2.
Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover.
So what was coming up in 2 days and after 2 days? The feast of the Passover. So when they was preparing, or that preparation day leading to a high holy day Sabbath, it's talking about the Passover. So what does that tell us? That tells us that there will actually be two Sabbaths that week, St. James.
Mm-hmm.
During that week that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified, there will be two Sabbaths. There will be your weekly Sabbath, which begins on sundown Friday evening and ends on Saturday sundown. And there will be another Sabbath that was going to be taking place during the week, as we read before in other episodes, that could fall on any day of the week. So that Sabbath that they was preparing for, that they had to put Christ's body, that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged for Christ's body, was talking about the Passover Sabbath. Passover Sabbath. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Luke 22, verses 1 and 2. Because within Passover, you have another high holy day that's the same thing. Luke chapter 22 and read verse 1 and 2.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover.
You see that? Now the feast of unleavened bread, June 9, which is called the Passover. Again, this is an high holy day. This is a Sabbath. So when Christ was crucified, we know that it was not Friday, because we show you that it's mathematically impossible. We knew that that Sabbath was coming in. Couldn't have been a weekly Sabbath, because in John's account, St. James, what did it tell us? It tells us that that Sabbath day is what? A high day,
right?
Which is different from your weekly Sabbath. What high day was that? John 19:14 tells you that the preparation was for the Passover. Okay? And now here we're looking at that Christ is letting us know that after 2 days, in John 26 verse 2, is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then you know that what? He was going to be crucified when? On a Passover. And Luke 22 verses 1 and 2, read that again, please.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people.
So when were they planning to crucify him and get him and try to kill him? It was during the feast of the high holy day, Passover, which is also known as the feast of unleavened bread. So St. James, we just read a whole recap, and we established what? We established that Christ gave the prophecy that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights when he was crucified. To get everything out the way, we let you know that there's 12 hours in a day. So 12 hours in a day lets us know there's 12 hours in a night, which makes a 1 day 24 hours. 3 days from that gives you 72 hours. We went and we made sure, well, guess what? Okay, what time did Christ come? What time did Christ was crucified? Or what time was he crucified, rather? And we know that that was a 3 p.m. Okay, so he was crucified on a 3 p.m. Friday, according to them. He couldn't have resurrected on a Easter Sunday, because he wouldn't have fulfilled his word, which is 3 days and three nights.
Exactly.
When we went into Matthew's, we seen how the angel came down and told one of the Marys that Christ is not here, that he is risen as he said. What did he say? 3 days, three nights. So now we see that the Sabbath that was coming in, which is what the world uses to try to say it had to be a Friday, that it couldn't have been a Friday. We show you that mathematically. But we show you that there was another Sabbath during that week, which was a high day, which is what? The Passover, also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So now that the only thing that's missing, St. James, is what day was that? If it was not a Friday, what day was that? He didn't resurrect on a Sunday. That's clear. That's clear in the scriptures, St. James.
Right. It says before the first day of the week. So he was already risen.
He was already risen. Before the first day, before, it says while it was yet dark, meaning the daylight, the day portion of the 24-hour period of a day didn't even come in yet. So again, where are they getting that from? They're lying to you in these churches. Okay. There's a reason why they call it Easter Sunday. There's a reason why it's done on the first Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox. That's all done for a reason, which we're going to get to. So now what we want to get to is, what day did Christ die? Because like we mentioned before, St. James, we mentioned that the life of Christ, a lot of it was prophesied in the Old Testament, right? It was prophesied different things that would transpire with the Messiah. Okay, everybody was expecting a Messiah. Were they not, St. James?
They absolutely were, yes, sir. Prophesied to come.
Right. It was written throughout all the scriptures that the Messiah was coming. So they was expecting the Messiah. But for us, just not say that, let's actually go into the scriptures and show you that. They show you that they was expecting a Messiah to come. Okay, this was prophesied throughout all the Old Testament that the Messiah was coming and was going to be manifested on the earth. He was promised to come. Let's go. We're going to use two scriptures to show you that. The first one I want to go to is the book of John. And we want to go into the first chapter. And let's see what the scripture says concerning the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
So we can get it clear without a shadow of a doubt that that's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They was expecting the Israelites, the children of Israel, the Jews, they was expecting Messiah to come. John, the first chapter, and we want to start at the 43rd verse. Let me listen. Can you hear 43, please?
The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me.
Okay, good. Okay, good. No, I'm sorry. So we starting at John chapter 1, verse 37, and we're going to see whether or not it was prophesied or were the children of Israel expecting a Messiah to come. John chapter 1, verse 37. Read.
John chapter 1, verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak.
Now, the two disciples that heard who speak? They heard Jesus Christ speak. Who are these two disciples? These two disciples are disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that was coming to prepare the way. And he also was the one that baptized our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when the two disciples heard him speak, heard Jesus Christ speak, what happened? Read on.
And they followed Jesus.
And they followed Jesus. Now they became Christ's disciples. Read verse 38.
Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye?
Yeah, Christ said, what seek ye? What did they say unto him? Read.
They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou?
Yeah, Master, where dwellest thou? Now, why were they following him? Keep reading.
He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour.
So now look at that. It was about the what? The 10th hour. Look at that. So again, it's just showing you the importance of knowing what 12 hours in a day signify. It's telling you time right here. The 10th hour, if the 9th hour is 3 p.m., the 10th hour is what? 4 p.m. So it says that they spent a whole day with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it was about the 10th hour, which was 4 p.m. Read on, verse 40.
One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
So Andrew was actually one of the 12 disciples, which is Simon Peter's brother. Now, what happened? Read verse 41.
He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him.
Now, pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. We're going to read verse 41 again, and pay attention to this closely. And read what it says. Read verse 41.
He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah.
Stop. It says, what? Well, we have found who?
The Messiah.
So if you're finding for someone, that means you're looking for him. That means you're expecting for him to come. How were they looking for the Messiah? Or how were they expecting the Messiah? Because they knew the scriptures. And the scriptures was letting us know that the Messiah was promised to come. So they was expecting for the Messiah to come. So when Andrew the apostle went and found his brother Peter, which is also known as Simon, he said unto him, we have found the Messiah. Read on.
Which is being interpreted, the Christ.
So when you see Christ, the word Messiah and Christ is synonymous. It's the same thing. Just in case a lot of people didn't know that. We wanted to make sure that we went there to show you that when we speak about Christ, the word Christ also means Messiah. Very important, because that's going to come back later on. So it says they found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Read on.
And he besought him, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone.
So he's letting Peter know who he is, and eventually letting him know what's his role going to be later on. Verse 43, read on.
The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me.
So now he found another one of his followers and says, Follow me. Now listen to what Philip said. So we already know that Andrew and Peter were studying the word of God. They were studying the scriptures because they said they found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. That means they were studying and they knew the scriptures, and they knew that there was a Messiah that was promised to come. And they said, We found the one that was promised to come. Read verse 43 one more time.
The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me.
So Christ said unto Philip, Follow me. Now listen to what Philip said and what Philip did. Verse 44 and 45. Read.
Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter.
Read on.
Philip findeth Nathanael.
Read it again. Philip findeth Nathanael. So Philip findeth another believer of Jesus Christ, or of the coming Messiah. And listen to what they said here. Read verse 45 one more time, please.
Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him.
They said what?
Found him.
We have found him. Who's the him that they were looking for? They was looking for the Messiah. Why were they looking for the Messiah? Because they knew the scriptures and they were studying. And they knew that according to the scriptures, that the Messiah was promised to come. So when they found the Messiah, what did they say? We have found him. Read on.
Of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
So look at that. So they said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. So again, what does that show you? That they were studying the scriptures and they knew that the Messiah was coming. And they knew that the Messiah was who? Jesus Christ. Again, so was the Messiah promised to come? Yes, he was. Let's go to one more. John chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 25. John chapter 4, verse 25.
The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh.
So you see that? This is showing you St. James throughout the scripture that they knew the Messiah was coming. The woman saith unto him, and we're not going to go into the woman in the well. This is a long story that goes into another understanding. But the point that we want to get out of here in verse 25 is that the woman saith unto him, unto who? Jesus Christ. Read it again, please.
The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh.
Yeah, they knew the Messiah was coming because they knew the scriptures that the Messiah was a prophesied to come. Read on.
Which is called Christ.
Which is called Christ. Read on.
When he is come, he will tell us all things.
See, but what she didn't realize was that the one that was standing right before her is the one that was promised to come, the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say to her? Read verse 26.
Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah that was prophesied to come in the Old Testament. I'm that Messiah. I am he. So again, was the Messiah prophesied to come in the Old Testament? Yes, he was. Does the scripture verify? Yes, he was. So now, if the Messiah was promised to come, St. James, and we mentioned before that his crucifixion was prophesied, going on the cross, even the two thieves that were going to be with him on the cross, even that was prophesied to come, St. James. That's in the Old Testament. The question is, does the word of God prophesy what day he will actually be crucified? Let's look at that. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and let's see if the word of God, who has been divinely inspired by God to the prophets of God. Go ahead.
And just in case, Mr. Powers, you know, because so we have some new listeners that may not be too familiar with the Bible, you know, they're looking like, Daniel, what book are you talking about? Like, these are prophetic books of the Bible. So yeah, it's right before Hosea, right there, Daniel's. Yes, sir.
So we go into Daniel. Daniel was a mighty prophet who God revealed a lot of information dealing with the different kingdoms, leading all the way into the time that we're in, and even after that, going into crisis time, the time we're living in, and even after that, leading into Christ's kingdom and God the Father's kingdom. So Daniel received a lot of visions and a lot of prophecies concerning different things that will take place on the planet Earth. So again, the question is, did the word of God prophesy what day the Messiah will be actually crucified? Let's read that. Daniel chapter 9, and we want to start at verse 26. Let's read that.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
Stop. Let's read that again.
After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
So again, it's talking about who? It is talking about the Messiah. What is the point on this verse? The Messiah. The key topics here is the Messiah. It says after 62 weeks, a score is 20, so 60 will be 60 and 2. So after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. 62 weeks is representing a dispensation of time that will lead up to the coming of the Messiah being manifested in the earth in the flesh. So that 62 weeks again symbolically representing a dispensation of time that will lead to the manifestation of the Messiah coming into the earth and being eventually what? Cut off. So let's read that again, please.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
So now what is Daniel prophesying? He's seeing a vision of Jesus Christ coming on the planet Earth and showing you that he will be what? He will be cut off. What does cut off mean? Cut off means that he was going to die. And we know Christ was crucified. So if he was coming to die, who was he coming to die for? Or why was he coming to die? Read on.
But not for himself.
But not for himself. Did that prophecy be fulfilled? Or was that prophecy fulfilled? Yes, it was. Let's go to Matthew 1, verse 21. When it says the Messiah was going to be cut off, but not for he himself, it's telling you that when the Messiah comes, that he was going to eventually come and do what? And die. But when he died, he wasn't going to die for himself. Why was he coming to die? He was coming to die for his people. Let's read about that. Let's hold that and let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And let's see that prophecy being told about here in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 21.
And she shall bring forth a son.
That she is referring to Mary, the mother of God. She was to bring forth the son, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the way she was going to be bringing him was through a virgin birth, which at some point later on, we'll go ahead and in another episode and prove that Jesus Christ actually came through a virgin birth. He had to come through a virgin birth because he had to come without sin. He had to be perfect in order for him to be that sacrifice for his people. So let's read it again, please.
And she shall bring forth a son.
So that she is referring to who? Mary. That son is talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is commonly known as the Annunciation, which is also known as announcing the birth of the coming Messiah. When we read in Daniel 9:26, we read that after a dispensation of time, that the Messiah was going to come on the earth and that he was going to be cut off, but not for himself. So this is going to give you the reason why he was coming. Read verse 21 one more time, please.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
The word Jesus means what? Savior. Because what was the purpose of the Messiah coming? Read.
For he shall save his people from their sins.
How was he going to save his people from their sins? By taking on their sins and dying on the cross. Being that what? Being that sacrifice. Because when you read the scriptures, it tells you that Christ didn't do anything. He had no sin. So when he went up on the cross, who did he go up on the cross and die for? He died for the children of Israel. He died for his people. So verse 21 is identifying the reason and the purpose why Christ came on the earth. Read it again.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
So his title is Jesus. I'm sorry. His title that he was going to be on the earth was going to be called Jesus Christ. The word Christ means Messiah, which also means anointed. He was going to be what? The anointed Savior. What does Jesus mean? The word Jesus means Savior. He was going to be what? The anointed Savior. The Savior that was promised to come. Because he was going to do what? For he shall what?
Save his people. from their sins.
So he was coming to save his people from their sins. So when Daniel was prophesying, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. So when Daniel was prophesying that the Messiah that was going to come is going to be cut off, but not for himself, there was no reason why he was, nothing that he did to be cut off, but that word cut off means die. It was not going to be for himself because he had no sin. He was actually coming to die for his people, which was the children of Israel. Let's read Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 again. So again, this is Daniel prophesying about the Messiah coming in the earth. Read.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
Cut off meaning he was going to be killed. The Messiah is who? Jesus Christ. We just proved that in John the first chapter and John the fourth chapter. That the Messiah, Christ said, the one that was promised to come, he said, I am he. I am that Messiah. So when it says here that the Messiah was going to be cut off, that means that he was going to be killed. But not for himself. Why was he coming to be killed? He was coming to die for his people, as it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Read on.
And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood.
Okay, I missed something. Let's go back up to verse 26. Well, this is amazing. This is showing you the purpose of why Christ was coming. Okay, let's read it one more time. This is Daniel seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. Read verse 26 one more time, please.
After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
Yeah, the Messiah be cut off. Read on.
But not for himself.
So this is Daniel again giving you the prophecy of Christ's death, St. James, before he was even manifested in the earth. Telling you about them. Christ clearly said, I am the Messiah that's coming. When we read Matthew 26, verse 2, he said that the feast of Passover was coming in 2 days, and you know the Messiah must be what? Must be killed and crucified.
Right.
So we know that it was not for him, not for himself, nothing that he did, because we know that when you commit sin eventually brings forth what? Death, St. James. But we know that when Christ was coming, when the Messiah was coming, he was not going to die for himself. That is universally known, St. James. So this prophecy right here is talking about Jesus Christ. Cut off meaning that he was going to be killed, but it was not going to be for himself, nothing that he did. It was going to be for what? For his people to die for their sins. So let's just read verse 26 because it's very important right here that we look at this. Because it's about to tell us in a minute when he actually was going to be cut off and die. Read.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood.
So when it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, that's talking about after Christ was actually crucified, what was going to be taking place. It was going to eventually lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem. And that took place when? In 70 AD. So this is the prophecy that Daniel seen from the time that the Messiah was going to be manifested in the earth and be crucified, leading up to what transpired by the Roman persecution in 70 AD. So when it says that thereof shall be with a flood, and the city and the sanctuary in the end thereof shall be with a flood, that's leading to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Come on.
And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined.
Read on.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
He is talking about the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That week is talking about the week of Passover. So now let's analyze that real quick. How many days, St. James, are there in a week?
7 days in a week, sir.
7 days in a week, right? And in 7 days, there is an odd number somewhere.
Right.
Seven is an odd number, right?
Right, seven is an odd number, correct.
It's an odd number, so that means that, well, we'll read it. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows that. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for that many that he's going to confirm the covenant with us. Everybody let you know that Christ is known as the mediator of the New Testament. He's the one that comes and does and fulfilled and brought forth that new covenant, which was him dying on the cross. And he was going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That week is talking about a literal week. In 26, those 62 weeks are prophetic weeks. That week in verse 27 is the actual literal week, which is talking about the week of Passover, the week which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified. Now, what's going to be taking place in that week? Read on.
And in the midst of the week.
Stop. Stop right there. And in the what?
In the midst of the week.
So now, if you have 7 days in a week, what day actually falls in the midst? The word midst means middle. What day falls in the middle of the week, St. James? That's letting us know that there's a day in 7 days. There's a day that has 3 days before it. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days after it. Midst means also, middle. Go ahead.
Right. Well, also known as what? Hump day, or well, that means you're getting over. You're at the very end of the week. You know, you're going over the hill. So you're going down. That's usually Wednesday, sir.
Wednesday. So that's the day that has 3 days before it and 3 days after it. What are they letting us know here? What is Daniel letting us know? That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to be cut off in the middle of the week. Now, how do we know that that's talking about him being cut off in the middle of the week? Because the next thing that we're going to read about is going to tell you what transpired when he gave up the spirit and was crucified. Read verse 20 one more time. 27 one more time, please.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
Stop. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. To cease meaning to stop. Okay. What was the sacrifice and the oblation? That daily sacrifice that was done in the temple. How was God going to cause that to cease? Because God was going to be that final sacrifice. What was taking place with the children of Israel? When the children of Israel, St. James, committed sin, they needed to sacrifice an animal so that shedding of blood can what? Forgive them for their sins. But what did they do? They ran that sacrifice to the ground. So right. Now the oblation and that sacrifice that was taking place every day stopped when Jesus Christ was crucified. Why? Because he will be, St. James, that final sacrifice. How do we know that to be true? When it says the oblation, the sacrifice and the oblation was to cease. In the midst of the week, let's show you that. Mark chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 36. So we're going back to Mark now. Let's hold Daniel's, and we're going to go to Mark 15 and verse 36 and 37. Let's start from verse 34.
And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.
And all this was done when? In the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. And what happened at 3 p.m. in the ninth hour? Read verse 37.
And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit.
And did what?
And gave up the spirit.
And he gave up the spirit. So what time did he give up the spirit? It was actually at 3 p.m. Now, what happened as soon as he gave up the spirit? This is what Daniel's foretold that would happen. Read. This is what Daniel's foretold would happen in the midst of the week. What would take place once Christ was crucified and gave up the spirit? Read verse 38.
And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
So the veil of the temple, which is where the sacrifice takes place, rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This actually happened. Now, why did this happen? It's to let you know that Christ was going to no longer be accepting those sacrifices. Why? Because he was going to be that final sacrifice. Read it one more time, please.
Verse 38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
From the what?
From the top to the bottom.
So what is this letting us know when it ripped in twain? That Christ is also doing what? He's rejecting that priesthood. He was rejecting that Levitical priesthood. Who was the ones that was doing the daily oblation and the sacrifice? The Levitical priesthood. What did Christ do when he caused that temple to be ripped in twain? I'm no longer accepting it. I'm rejecting the priesthood. Okay, this is what Daniel was foretelling. That daily sacrifice that was being taking place and the oblation, God caused that to cease when he was crucified on the cross. Meaning, I am rejecting that priesthood. I'm no longer accepting your sacrifice. Now, why? Because I am that final sacrifice. And that took place when? In the middle of the week, St. James. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And now that we see that it was a Wednesday, and we have what time that he actually was crucified, we have the amount of time that he will be in the earth. Let's calculate that and see what day that we get. And let's see if that falls in line with the time that Mary came in before the sun came up and he was already gone. If that's not talking about a Wednesday, then please tell me what day that's talking about. Because if you look at Thursday, 3 p.m., you get Friday, 3 p.m., that's 24 hours, right, St. James?
That's right. You get
Saturday, 3 p.m., that's 48 hours, right?
That's right.
That's 2 days. You go back to Sunday, 3 p.m., and you get 72 hours. Again, mathematically impossible. So we know that it couldn't have been a Thursday either, St. James.
That's right.
So that's how you know the scriptures letting us know that it's talking about what day? Wednesday. Go back to Daniel 9, verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
So again, this week that it's talking about in verse 27, as you read up in verse 24, 25, those are spiritual, or what's known as prophetic weeks. Verse 27 is talking about the literal week. So verse 27 is a literal week. And he's talking about the Messiah that was to come, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That literal week. How many days is in a week? 7 days. So that's an odd number. That means it's going to be a day that falls right in the middle. Read on.
And in the midst of the week.
And in the midst of the week, we know that that day that falls in the middle is Wednesday. Because we know that the first day is Sunday. Okay, y'all know that. Y'all try to say that that's the new Sabbath, Sunday. So you know Sunday is the first day of the week.
Right.
You know that Saturday is the seventh day of the week. So out of a seven-day period, which makes up a whole week, what day falls in the middle? Wednesday. What will take place on the Wednesday? Daniel is letting us know. In the midst of the week. Read on.
He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
So stop. He will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What happened when Christ gave up the Spirit? The veil of the temple ripped in two. In twain means in two. Letting us know, I am rejecting that Levitical priesthood. I am no longer accepting that sacrifice and that oblation. I am causing it to cease. Why? Because I am that final sacrifice. I am that final sacrifice. So, that's letting you know that what? That Christ died on a Wednesday. Read verse 26 again, and then we're going to jump. Read this again. Verse 26.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself.
Stop. So he was going to be cut off, meaning he was going to be killed, not for himself, for who? For the children of Israel. And what day was that going to happen when he was going to be cut off? Read verse 27 now.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
That week is the Passover week. Read on.
And in the midst of the week.
So when was he going to be cut off? Read it again.
In the midst of the week.
So he was going to be cut off, meaning killed, in the midst of the week. When he died, what happened? Read it again.
Shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
And that happened. We saw that happen. The oblation and the sacrifice happens in the temple. The veil of the temple ripped in twain. He said, I am no longer accepting the priesthood. I am rejecting the sacrifice. I am now that final sacrifice. How do we know that to be 100% true? Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 29. And this is why it's important to understand that Christ actually died on a Passover. St. James. I mean, you can't get no clearer than that.
Yeah, and that's the sorry, if I may, this, like, go ahead. This right here, this is how you know that everyone else who's trying to talk about the Bible, everyone else who's trying to talk about the Word of God, if they have not been taught by the source, if they have not been taught through the Holy Spirit, they have not been taught by the Holy God sent Comforter, Holy Apostle, and Chief High Priest Hazadakia, they don't know. You know, I'm making a family show, right? So it's they don't know anything. Like, nothing. This is how you prove things. This is how you go back and forth and it makes sense. That's right. How the math adds up. There's no number book, no numerology, no. It makes sense what? Based on precept upon precept. And that's how you find out the information. And nobody can just go into Daniel's. Are you kidding me? You go into Daniel's like that and try and get that understanding by yourself.
Right. Again, this is information that was taught to us by the God and Comfort. Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest tells Doc. I mean, there's no way you're going to get out of it. Christ died on a Wednesday at 3 p.m. But let's show you that he was actually the Messiah that was going to no longer accept the daily sacrifice because he was going to become that final sacrifice. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 29. This is amazing. So we're going to find out exactly what time he resurrected also. So John chapter 1 and read verse 29, please.
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him.
So now this is John the Baptist, the one that was to prepare the way of the Messiah. The next day, John seeth Jesus. And what did he say to him? Read.
And saith, behold, the Lamb of God.
So what was Christ known as?
The Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God. Wow. And he died on a Passover. He's symbolically representing that lamb. And this is how you know that he had to come perfect, without sin, without spot. Because in order for you to sacrifice that lamb during the Passover, that lamb had to be without spot, and it had to be without blemish and be perfect. So let's letting you know that Christ, when he died, when he was crucified, when he was killed, he was perfect without sin because he became that sacrifice. Read it again, please.
Verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Which taketh away the sins of the world, that world being the world of Israel. He take away the sins of the world because he was that perfect sacrifice, St. James, without spot and without blemish, without sin.
And that was a beautiful point, too, you made, too. And just in case it went over some people's heads and said the world is Israel, please definitely send us a note on blogtalk@icgjc.org. And it's a whole nother class that goes in that topic. And Lord will cover that in some other shows. But definitely just want to make sure that it is clear in case anybody is the first time hearing it. Like, wait a minute, we talking about the world, Israel. But it's just like we proved, just like Mr. Powers rather is proving everything right now according to the word, that can also be proved according to the word.
That's right. That's right, St. James. So now we've seen that Christ had to be that final sacrifice. So he caused the oblation and the sacrifice to cease. So now we see that that happened in the middle of the week, which we know is a Wednesday. Now we have a day, St. James. We have a time, and we have a dispensation of time. Let's put it all together.
Okay.
He died on a Wednesday during Passover at 3 p.m. He said 3 days and three nights, which is 72 hours. So let's count with me, St. James. 3 p.m. Wednesday, which is 3 p.m. Thursday, gives us what?
You got me all choked up, sir. 24 hours.
24 hours, which also includes a day and a night, in case you want to look at it that way. That covers that too. So now from Thursday to Friday, what do you have?
2 days. And two nights, or 48 hours.
Thank you. Now, the third day would be... Actually, that's the third night as well. The first night was Wednesday. Remember, Wednesday night. Thursday night is two nights. Friday nights is three nights. So let's do it over again, just so everybody can stay with us. So from Wednesday, 3 p.m. to Thursday, is how many hours?
24 hours.
Which is also one day and one night. From Thursday night going all the way till Friday, 3 p.m. gives us what?
48 hours.
48 hours, which now you have what? You have 2 days and two nights, St. James. Now from 3 p.m. Friday, which is during the day, to 3 p.m. Saturday, you have Friday night, which gives you the third night. from 3 p.m. Friday to 3 p.m. Saturday gives you how many days, how many nights, and how many hours, St. James?
Yes, 3 days and 3 nights and 72 hours. Psst.
Come on. Can't get out of it. So now it makes sense that when the Marys went to go see the sepulchre, while it was yet dark on the first day, that the angel told them that he is not here. He has risen as he said, because he resurrected on the Sabbath at 3 p.m. Because he crucified on a Wednesday, 3 p.m. 3 days and three nights. Right there in the scriptures. Can't get out of that. What you going to say now?
No, you can't say anything on it.
Can't say nothing. So where do they get Good Friday from? Where do they get Easter Sunday from? Where do they get Ash Wednesday from? Let's talk about Ash Wednesday, St. James. Because they're getting that for a reason. They know, scholars know, that Wednesday is when Christ was crucified. And when they set up Ash Wednesday, again, when you put ashes in you, this is one of the reasons. There's also another reason behind that. One of the reasons is they're making mockery of Jesus Christ. Because they knew that he died on a Wednesday, okay, as was taught to us by the Holy Ghost and Comforter. So Ash Wednesday also represents them making mockery of the fact that the Son of God was crucified on a Wednesday. Because why a Wednesday? When we start going into the 40 days leading up to Good Friday into Easter Sunday, why pick Wednesday? Why pick Wednesday? There's a reason why they picked that. Because they knew that he was crucified on a Wednesday. So they're actually making mockery of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being crucified on a Wednesday, 3 p.m., resurrecting on a Saturday, 3 p.m., also known as the hour of prayer. Amazing. Amazing. I mean, come on. Amazing. Can't get out of that. So again, let's go to another scripture and let's just show you something concerning the purpose of Christ's blood being spilled. Go to Hebrews 9:15 or 9:13. And then we're going to show you that he was actually sacrificed on a Passover because he is our Passover. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13. When you get it, you can read it, please.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh.
Right. Go ahead.
How much more shall the blood of Christ.
Go ahead.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God.
Without what?
Spot.
Mm-hmm.
To God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
So now, when you read Daniel's 9:26-27, and even above that, it lets you know that he's going to cause the oblation, the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. When he died, the veil of the temple rent in twain, meaning he was rejecting that priesthood and he was no longer accepting the sacrifices. Why? He was going to become the final sacrifice. John chapter 1 verse 29 lets us know that he would be known as the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. How was he going to be that Lamb of God? Because he was going to be sacrificed. Just like animals were sacrificed to shed their blood for the remission of Israel's sin. Without the shedding of blood, the scriptures tell you, there is no remission of sin. So Christ had to shed his blood and had to be perfect and die for the children of Israel. But when you read verse 13 now.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh.
So again, what was taking place is that the children of Israel will commit sin and they will actually eventually have to sacrifice an animal to be forgiven of those sins, and there will be a time period where you will actually sprinkle a heifer, and then that heifer will take on the sins of the children of Israel. So again, So what he's letting us know is that he ran that lost sacrifice to the ground by being that final sacrifice. This eventually was done away with. Why? Because they ran this law to the ground. And this was no longer going to bring them what? Remission of sins. It was no longer going to bring them what? Forgiveness for their sins, because they was actually, St. James, doing what's called premeditated sin.
Right.
You could definitely come in on this, because this is definitely your topic, St. James.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
I want you to understand it. It's a mystery.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means to these people, it's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Because it is given unto you, read on, to know the mystery.
Mystery, even a mystery, hid from ages through history. Generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, the nation victory.
You're listening to, Mysteries of the Bible.
Now, since Mysteries of the Bible has been on the air, our main goal was to establish truth according to God.